Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We are broadcasting live today from the Farmers Market at the Columbus Public Health Department on Parsons Avenue. There are lots of people here milling around, and if you can hear them, good, because that's what we want. Farmers markets have become a popular feature of urban life. The number of registered farmers markets in the United States increased by 17% just last year. It prompted the USDA to declare this week National Farmers Market Week. But some low-income neighborhoods in central Ohio still lack access to fresh, affordable, and healthy food. And that's why we're here today. The farmers market started about 7 years ago. And joining us now is Dr. Teresa Long. She's the health commissioner for Columbus since 2002. She served as medical director and health assistant health commissioner for Columbus Health Department from 1986 to 2002. Welcome to the show, Dr. Long.
Well, thank you so much, Ann. It's great to have you and your colleagues and actually all of our wonderful friends here.
And can we pick the weather or what?
Oh, my goodness. Well, actually, this is our third Thursday. We do this three Thursdays in the summer and welcome about 10,000 people over those three Thursdays.
Over the course of the whole
three Thursdays. And so we're hoping that we'll get to the 10,000 this year. And this is by far the best Thursday of our three for 2011.
It's pretty much by far the best Thursday of the summer, I think we'd be safe, to say that.
Yeah, I think the first one, there was a heat emergency. And so we're thrilled. And actually, as you mentioned, the lines are both long to get coupons for some of our WIC families, but also we are welcoming our neighbors both from the downtown and Old Town East and actually all around the community to come out. I think we have 17 or 18 farmers here today, and it is both beautiful and visual with the fruits and vegetables, but the people and all of their wonderful outfits and enjoying this weather, it's great.
So tell us about how the farmers market started 7 years ago. What was it like compared to this?
Well, 7 years ago, we realized, and I think many have across the country, that for some people, they don't have the opportunity to get to fresh fruits and vegetables in whether it's a corner store or a grocery store near to them. And so it really came to us via our WIC program, our Women, Infant, and Children Supplemental Nutrition Program, that they had an interest in creating a farmer's market opportunity. We talked about different locations in our community, and we kept coming right back to our neighborhood, right here on the Near East Side, the kind of the gateway to the Near East, but very close to downtown, and said, why don't we just do it on our campus? So we started planning, and of course that was over 7 years ago, and the very first one or two, first 2 years, we were so jammed.
Really?
Because we kept actually adding things because everybody wanted to participate. So all of our public health programs, our public health partners all wanted booths. We had music. We had play areas for the kids. And it became so exciting that people didn't want to leave. And so what that meant was the police went crazy. We were shutting down both the freeway exits onto Broad Street and Main Street. You couldn't get in, you couldn't get out. And so we have over the years realized that, well, farmers markets are a wonderful opportunity to be social, to learn about how to cook fresh fruits and vegetables. We had to tone down a little bit of all of the other exciting opportunities to share health information. And so now we've gotten onto a much smoother course. People do. They come and they purchase, they learn about how to cook their fruits and vegetables, but it's not quite as social, and so we turn over these 3,000-4,000 people a lot more quickly.
My guest is Dr. Teresa Long. She's Columbus's health commissioner since 2002. If you have a question or comment for her, we welcome them, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, post your question or comment there. We're talking about farmers markets, we're talking about health, and we're talking about what that has to do with nutrition and what we eat. It looks like there's a lot of demand here, Dr. Long. So if there's so much demand here, why aren't there stores providing this in the neighborhoods already?
Well, these are all very good questions. So what we know is that people make use of what they have available to them. And so you have to have the opportunity to, of course, of availability. And there are many grocery stores that don't have the turnover in some neighborhoods of fresh fruits and vegetables to make it profitable or even, you know, cost effective for them to offer. And so there has been, I think, a concerted effort really starting 7-8 years ago to try and both increase urban farming, so to speak, community gardens being a part of that, but also to try and work with and support local vendors in bringing in fresh fruits and vegetables into their corner stores or smaller groceries in some of the neighborhoods, and then farmers markets. So it's all a part of a larger plan to bring in the fresh fruits and vegetables to give people an opportunity. Because if you don't have access, if you don't have easy access in your neighborhood or on your way home or from to or from work, you're far less likely to get fresh fruits and vegetables, which means you're far less likely to have, you know, to eat that kind of fresh food. And then, of course, we know there's health impacts to not having access to fresh foods.
Has having the farmers market, you know, in the educational process, have you seen any kind of uptick at the corner stores? Are businesses seeing more demand?
Well, we have seen several things happen. Indeed, there is more demand. Actually, we have been so good in working with partners that now there are many farmers markets going on. We've actually been working with United Way around this issue, and we can talk about it if you'd like to, around food deserts, kind mm-hmm. of this balance or imbalance.
You've identified 42 Columbus neighborhoods,
right.
I saw.
We've actually spent a lot of time trying to understand the distribution of the availability in corner stores and grocery stores versus kind of the ratio to fast food restaurants in our neighborhoods. And there are a number of neighborhoods in Columbus and actually in Franklin County, but mostly in Columbus, that have a overweighting of or an imbalance, or some people call that a food desert, of far more access to fast foods as opposed to fresh foods. And so it is one of the opportunities that we're trying to push to work on community gardens and United Way and other community partners together with us. They actually have now going a partnership for at least three neighborhood corner stores in Franklinton to support them in offering fresh fruits and vegetables to, again, try and increase both awareness, interest, and then, of course, purchase of the fresh fruits and vegetables just in the neighborhood.
There was an NPR report yesterday I thought was interesting, and they're saying that it's actually economically logical to buy fast food, given the cost.
Well, interestingly enough, and of course, the things that you learn over many years is that actually you can get a lot of calories for some of the
exactly the
money. It's calorie per dollar,
right.
Now actually I think, and you know, many may be surprised to hear me say that, actually fast food restaurants are really not horrible to begin with. Frankly, a lot of them offer a lot of opportunity, and it's very standardized for many people. And we've talked a lot about diabetics and how do they understand what they can eat, where they can eat it. And in fact, many of our fast food restaurants here offer wonderful salads, offer apple slices, offer all kinds of things that even if you're on a sugar-restricted, a calorie-restricted diet, you can actually get those in many of our fast food restaurants. So it's not that fast food is bad. It's basically, how do you choose? How do you know? And of course, sadly, a lot that gets marketed, and that's really across the country, has to do with high calorie, not highly nutritious foods as well.
You know, coming up, we're going to meet Sherry Gilogli. She's one of the farmers at today's market. And we were talking a little bit earlier, and she said, you know, one of the things she loves about the market is just meeting new people and hearing from people from all over the world.
Interesting.
She said, though, that one girl came up to her last summer, I think, and said, do apples really grow on trees? And that's just another example of the disconnect a lot of people have with their food now.
Well, and actually maybe it's also this disconnect with nature and, you know, obviously both urban living, and we're not necessarily, I see the cars getting stopped out here. Hopefully. We don't want our police colleagues to get angry with us again. But it is very interesting both to ask, you know, does an apple really grow on a tree? Well, yes, of course it does. But that's the kind of opportunity for people to come see these things that are grown right here. Now, we do draw in farmers from a fairly nice radius around Columbus. So we have people coming in from Bucyrus with corn and different places. I'm not sure exactly where the apples would have been grown. But as you know, there's apples right here in Franklin County and certainly in the county surrounding Columbus. So how great for people to see them grown here. And ideally, it would be great to be able to have opportunities for them to go out and pick them themselves.
What other barriers are there to getting and using fresh food and cooking?
Well, so certainly availability.
Right.
Cost. I mean, we just talked about this question of fast food and calories for the buck. Frankly, fresh food takes a little bit more to pay sometimes upfront. It takes more preparation, obviously. Right. And then thinking about how can I use these? How can I use, and we love to encourage people to eat a palette, a variety of colors. And so what can I mix with what? How can I do this and that? And then how can I use maybe what might be my traditional or ethnic cooking and mix that in with some of the things that we're talking about. So indeed, we do have information. I know some of the farmers have learned from some of our consumers, well, this might be how I would use this. So that's, of course, a barrier to figure out how to use them in my family. And then, of course, how to preserve them. So you need to have some refrigeration. And so some of our families don't have a lot of refrigeration capacity at home. So again, we want people to learn where they can get them, not just three Thursdays in the summer. And that's why both these broader farmers markets, corner stores, and in fact, there's a fabulous community partner that has a veggie van. And in fact, they go to a variety of locations, rec centers, older adults, senior centers, and they are show up weekly with an opportunity for people to get their fresh fruits and vegetables there.
Was it difficult at first to attract vendors to the farmers market?
That's a great question.
Because it takes, there's an investment, and we're going to be talking to Sherry Gologli next, in a couple minutes, but...
Well, actually, I think our very first, we had 15 farmers. It was kind of, they were taking a flying, what'll it be like question in their minds, and we were too. Actually, they were thrilled from the very first moment. When you start to see thousands of people coming through, paying you cash or giving you the equivalent of cash, and then the farmers are able to turn back around our WIC coupons and our older adult coupons, we have them as well, available for the senior citizens, or they were available, they're all gone, for them to get fresh fruits and vegetables. And so the farmers get paid right on the spot, and actually, my understanding is they almost always sell out even before the 1 or 1:30 closure. So that's very, very exciting for them, too.
Tell us how the WIC program does work. And can somebody in the WIC program use the same process at other farmers markets? Or is that one of the enticements of this?
Well, actually, WIC, first of all, WIC is one of those older supplemental nutrition health education programs. It serves, and actually we have now the largest WIC program in Ohio. We serve 38,000 people, which is always surprising to people. You do need to be income eligible and have a nutritional risk. So indeed, it's for mothers pregnant or breastfeeding and for their children up to the age of 5 who have this nutritional risk. And indeed, there are 10 locations all around the community where they go quarterly. They get both health information, health screening, and they get access. They get coupons. They actually get vouchers or credit cards that allow them to go and purchase nutritious foods in local grocery stores.
Oh, so anywhere they could use
anywhere
it.
Anywhere they could use
so
this.
Any now, farmer's market where they take a card, they could also take this? Or
well,
no?
That's a good question. Actually, what gets here is we issue coupons. We issue coupons for $15 worth of product. They can use them here. They can now use them. It used to be as easy to use them in other locations. My understanding is now they can. The other thing that's new, really not so new, I guess it's the last 3 or 4 years, but it's taken some time, is food stamps. So people can bring their food stamps and actually swipe the card.
It's a card now.
It's a card. Mm-hmm. And so they can swipe the card, be given tokens, and they can use their food stamps here to purchase. That actually, we started 3 or 4 years ago. Other farmers markets didn't have that available, but now my understanding is that is available really across, maybe not in all farmers markets, but in many farmers markets. So the availability has increased.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Dr. Teresa Long. She's Columbus's health commissioner. We are at the Columbus Health Department's Farmers Market on Parsons Avenue, right at the Health Department. If you want to drop by, we'll be here for a couple hours. I know the market's open till 1.
Correct.
And there's lots of stuff going on here besides food. So there, in fact, I want to get to it when we return. It is Breastfeeding Awareness Month, and that's one of the booths.
Great.
Here. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Checking the weather for Central Ohio, a nice day today ahead. Sunny skies, a high near 80 degrees. Tonight mostly clear with a low around 57. Then on Friday mostly sunny, tomorrow's high 84. Clouds move in for Saturday, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly in the afternoon. And the high on Saturday about 80 degrees.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, the liberal critique of Barack Obama that he's not done nearly enough. But he's no FDR when that's what the country needs. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
This afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News.
Connect with WOSU through our e-newsletters. Visit wosu.org/email and sign up to receive emails about our news programming, special events, classical music, and more. Connect with WOSU Public Media. It's easy. wosu.org/email is the place to go and stay in touch.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're at the Farmers Market at the Columbus Health Department, Public Health Department. If you want to join us in person, get down here. We're there open till 1 o'clock. We'll be here till noon. If you'd like to join us otherwise, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. My guests, Dr. Teresa Long, she is the health commissioner for the city of Columbus, and also joining us now is Betsy Pandora. Betsy is coordinator of the Healthy Places program at Columbus Public Health. As an urban planner, she advocates for policies to reduce negative health impacts of the built environment. And that's a pretty fancy description that I'm hoping you will decipher for us. Betsy Pandora, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to be here.
So how does your training as an urban planner fit into your job description as coordinator of Healthy Places program?
Right. Well, Columbus is very fortunate and unique to have an urban planner working in a local public health organization to try and advocate for making our community designed to be easier to bike and walk in. And so the purpose of the Healthy Places program is to do that, is to encourage people to be more physically active in their daily life. And so in 2006, actually really the brainchild of Dr. Long here, was reading that a lot of research was recognizing that the way the built environment, that big fancy term, which really means, the way our roads are designed, the way our buildings are designed and positioned, our neighborhoods, where we've chose to develop them, over time, over the last 50, 60 years or so post-World War II, how we've chosen to design these things have in many ways made it not so easy for us to be physically active in our daily life. And so one of the things that we do here in Healthy Places is try and encourage people and developers and city agencies to make that easier by making the built environment, our roads, our neighborhoods, more easy for us to bike and walk.
Can you give us some examples of what you mean by that? Things that have happened in Columbus that have changed to address a healthy environment?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the Healthy Places program, for example, one of the things that we do is we work to advocate for active living features. So things like wider sidewalks and making communities more walkable or pedestrian friendly or more bike friendly by adding more bike infrastructure. So one of the things that the City of Columbus has done is we have a bicentennial bikeways plan, and we've been working now, the Healthy Places program works in partnership with our city's Department of Public Service to help implement the bicentennial bikeways plan and make sure that it's easier for us to have bike lanes and sharrows and other forms of bike infrastructure that make it easier for us to bike.
Dr. Long, this sounds like a luxury in this day and age, in this economy, to be thinking about wider sidewalks and that sort of a thing.
I'm so glad you brought up the luxury question, because it's really not. When we talk about health, I mean, ultimately, this really is about health. And health and safety, especially when we're talking about sidewalks. But let me just, the context for this is that Ohio already has 10% of our Ohioans who have diabetes. We know that 43% of our Columbus kindergartners, 40% of our third graders, almost 50% of our fifth graders are overweight. And nearly 60% of our adults are overweight or obese. What will that mean? That means that our rate of diabetes is going to skyrocket over the next few years. And sadly, and I know, Anne, you and I both have fairly young children, they're teenagers, to think now that the life expectancy for our young people is actually, for the first time in known history, to be shorter than ours as adults. That our kids' lives will be shortened because of this overweight and obesity epidemic that is leading to all kinds of serious illnesses, diabetes just being one, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, etc. And so indeed, it is not a luxury that we need to think about how can we both eat healthy, which is what the farmers market's about, but how can we live active? And it really is about getting back to some of our roots, you know, both talking about farming, but also walking, biking. Biking can be fun. We need to figure out ways to make it both a part of our daily lives. And actually, one of the things that Betsy and colleagues, we've spent a lot of time thinking about is connectivity. You know, people, they may like to go for a bike ride every once in a while, but they're not going to bike ride regularly unless it connects to something else. So if it takes them to the library, if it takes them to the grocery store and they have, you know, the ability to throw their groceries for that day onto their bicycle. So we have to think about bike racks. We have to think about sidewalks so people can walk together as opposed to have to walk single file. Ultimately, all this is about being active, because that's the way we are going to address this overweight and the obesity epidemic that we're facing here in Columbus. We're facing it, obviously, in Ohio and the United States. But frankly, it's a global pandemic. We talk about pandemics. This is actually one of those as well.
Betsy Pandora, how do you change behaviors to go with the infrastructure?
Right. So,
how do you teach people to use it?
Exactly. So one of the things that we've done here in the Healthy Places program is start and go walking with neighborhoods. We've started doing a series of what are called walkability assessments or walk audits in neighborhoods, where we'll go out with them, identify things that serve as barriers to them in their neighborhood, and then we'll create a walking map for them so that they find and see where there are safe routes or accessible routes for them to walk to those daily destinations, for them to find that connectivity. So we've done that with the Neighborhood Walking Map program, Columbus Walking Maps. We've done that for something like 35 plus neighborhoods actually have a walking map that they can use that links them with a half mile to a mile route to a daily destination like a park or a grocery store. And then in addition to that, we've also developed a couple other programs to try and help people understand that just interjecting that small amount of additional physical activity into their lives can help make a difference. One of them is the Columbus Art Walk program, actually, that we've developed. These are walking tours of 9 different neighborhoods. They feature public art sites, architectural sites, historical sites, and various things that people can experience to get a better sense of their neighborhoods and really enjoy being out and about and walking and getting active.
So I have the Near East Art Walk map.
That's right.
Which is where we are right now.
That is where we are right now.
So what can people see around here? What would they see on the walk through the King Lincoln route?
There, for the King Lincoln route in particular, on that walk, there are tons of public art sites that are really linked to the jazz history of that neighborhood in particular. Mm-hmm. You can actually hear local jazz legend Gene Walker on the audio tour that accompanies the art walk that you can access with your cell phone. It's a pocket-sized map. It has the phone number right on it.
You mean cell phones that can... take an app.
No. Oh. It's a cell phone.
You just
audio
dial
tour.
In.
Oh, all you have okay. to do is dial the phone right. number. You enter an extension, and you get information about that site. And so, you know, lots of fun information about the rich culture and history of the Near East neighborhood, particularly on that Long Street route. In addition to that, we're also looking at adding signage to complement the Art Walk program so that people will more easily be able to find where they're going in these neighborhoods. We're also working on creating an educational resource that'll be coming out hopefully soon so that we're bringing this type of information about good walkability and being out and adding a little bit of physical activity into your daily life, something that's advocated for in schools as well. So we've been working on an educational resource for K-12 students to help their teachers help them encourage to do these things as well.
And you know, a lot of schools, they don't have money for trips and things like that now, so you're saying it's right out their front door sometimes.
Exactly. I mean, there's 9 different neighborhoods scattered around the urban core of Columbus where you can do these, but I mean, you could just as easily use our neighborhood walking map program on a school field trip to show students how it is easy to link to a park or a grocery store.
Speaking of schools, there's been a lot of criticism in the past of how unwalkable the routes are for kids to their schools. How's that changing, and what's the city doing in terms of helping kids walk safely to school?
Well, that actually is part of the history of why we even have this project. Back in actually the late 90s and early 2000s, I realized and heard more about it that you couldn't get to some of our neighborhood schools safely. There was no sidewalk, there was no infrastructure. It was kind of crazy. And so actually the city started thinking about this, or we started pushing the city, say, as we're building things, let's build a sidewalk that gets kids to school safely. And so in fact, there are now lots of different initiatives, but the city's utilities department that's doing lots of building, the city's public service department, the public health department, and actually our development department, the planning, are all working together to try and say, how do we build things that connect people to things that are meaningful in their lives, like parks and schools? So indeed, I think now, and that's been a real priority of Mayor Coleman, is to let's build safe routes to school. Let's assure that we have sidewalks that allow kids to get to school safely. So that has been a big focus of all of the city's infrastructure in putting that together. And then we've gone beyond that. And that's very exciting. Actually, when we just kicked off these art walks just a year and a half ago.
June 2010.
June 2010, for the Arts Festival, we had calls very quickly from schools, suburban schools, saying, we want to take those art walks. And how cool was that? And so we love to bring our friends and neighbors into Columbus. They may not get those experiences, but clearly it's also about our Columbus residents, too.
Columbus is a lot more interesting to walk around than a subdivision in I'm not going to pick on any particular community, but leave it at that. 614-292-8513, that's the number to call. If you would like to speak with either of our guests, Columbus Public Health Commissioner Dr. Teresa Long. Also with us is Betsy Pandora. She's the coordinator of the Healthy Places Program at Columbus Public Health. And you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Beth from Worthington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. I have a question for Dr. Long. I love that you're talking about all this today. I love all these additive things and really paying attention to our environment. But what I have a particular concern, and that is, how do we address some of the dangerous things in our environment? And I would include in that, in this obesity epidemic, foods that are non-foods, foods that are addictive. So, for example, when you're at that fast food, I totally agree that the salad options are wonderful, but people don't choose them, and the restaurants themselves report that, because we don't make good decisions for ourselves in the moment. We tend to make decisions based on other things. And so if you're looking at those foods that are designed to be addictive, that are designed to be overeaten, how can we as a community say, no, we don't want those foods? Take those away. Don't give me that option, because obesity is not, at the end of the day, about willpower in the moment. It's about just making a choice. Well,
you're talking some of those trans fat bans and that kind of a thing. Dr. Long?
I'm going beyond that. I'm going for the fat, sugar, salt combination that has been proven to create an addictive response in the brain.
Okay. Thanks, Beth.
Right. Well, you're actually obviously on to something that really is important, and actually many of those who market these products know that they do have, whether it's sugar, there's some other kinds of things that really hook us on them. So at the very basic level, I would tell you it's basically what your grandmother or my grandmother might have said, everything in moderation, in a balance. That, sure, you could have, some food product that, has the potential to hook you in, but you should only have it infrequently. And obviously there's been a huge push on that with the food pyramid, and I'm not sure that you and other listeners are knowledgeable, but now the Food and Drug Administration, the USDA and the FDA have come out with kind of an abandonment of the food pyramid, going to the food plate. And so it really is trying to explain to people that some foods should only be eaten seldomly or in moderation, and other foods like fresh foods, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, those are what we really need to emphasize in our diets. And so, yes, it's a challenge. It's a challenge for us in schools, supplemental feeding programs.
But can we as
families,
a society, address it with legislation and that sort of a thing? Is there something way we can stop people from doing it? We don't let them take... Some drugs are, illegal.
Are right. So what's happened kind of across the country, across around the world? First of all, there are a lot of people in our country and in our community who say it's really up to each of us as individuals. So stay out of my business about what I eat.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to balance with that. So what have we seen? We've seen New York City, of course, lead the way with a trans fat ban. And that actually was secondary to trying to get a sweetened beverage ban in place in New York City. They were unsuccessful with that, and they came back with the trans fat ban. They also then came back with a rapid increase in cigarette taxes. So it's interesting the different kind of things that get linked to this. But indeed, trans fats, taking those out, and actually what New York City did, and now several others have done it, has really changed a lot of the availability of trans fats around our country. They are not as available. Here in Ohio, some of those ban opportunities as far as nutrition are really not available to us in Ohio. It turns out that in 2008, fairly clear, unfortunately perhaps, but a fairly clear law was passed that said the sole discretion for any kind of both nutrition labeling or banning, so to speak, lay solely in the prerogative of the director of the Ohio Department of Agriculture. And so while Cleveland just recently, and one of their city council members, and I salute him, said we want to ban, we want to change things, we're going to go after trans fats, that is basically not possible. So I think there could be some lobbying, certainly, but clearly it's going to be about both individuals and groups of us coming together and saying we want to change how we eat and the availability of some of these products in our community.
So Betsy Bandura, then, there is something called the Healthier Choices Initiative. It's a voluntary effort, though. Tell us how that, what that is and how it's working. And by the way, Beth and Worthington, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. But Betsy, Dr. Long.
Betsy can jump in a moment, but the Healthier Choices actually has been a part of our nutrition, our active living effort.
That's right.
We are working with and have worked with restaurants, our Central Ohio Restaurant Association, very positively, as well as consumers, those with diabetes and those who are trying to stay healthy, just like Beth. And we had a variety of people on this project, and we looked at a variety of approaches to help people make healthier choices when they go out to eat. And so indeed, yes, there is federal legislation that there will have to be menu labeling. Some of it you can see, Panera Bread being a great example. Some of the Kentucky Fried Chickens have put up calorie information, and in some cases, a lot of information right on their menus. And as I go around, I chat with the restaurateurs, and they say people do make healthier choices. So what we've entered into this partnership now is with Ohio State and their College of Nutrition. Dr. Diane Habash has really been helping some of our smaller local restaurants, our Dine Original, some of our colleagues there, get some of their items on their menus analyzed. Our favorite one to talk about went first is Joe Spinelli and Spinelli's Diner. And in fact, he has created several now healthier options. He learned a lot in the process, as did the nutritionist up at Ohio State. And so indeed, we're on this journey of trying to encourage our local smaller vendors. They don't have to meet this federal restriction and federal guideline about menu labeling. But we want all of our vendors or purveyors of food here in Columbus to at least highlight healthier options. And that's what the Healthier Choices program is about.
Betsy?
And, you know, along with that, we have a great resource here for helping people to figure out how to make those healthier choices. And so the Institute for Active Living and the Mayor's Get Active Columbus Initiative, which is housed here in Columbus Public Health, is working directly with that program. And you can actually find resources on the Get Active Columbus website, which really is about healthy and active living, and food is a part of that. But you can find information about healthy food choices there. And eventually, as that program gets up and running, information about that there. So it's really like a central advocacy and a really wonderful communication tool that we have for people to get information about this.
It's easy to measure input. How do you measure outcome with this kind of, this multifaceted, you know?
It is hard to measure outcomes specifically to different initiatives, though we have been working closely with the Columbus City Schools. Actually, one of our community foundations over a number of years has invested in the schools, and so we have been tracking specifically in some pilot ways obesity rates, or really body mass index rates, of third graders and fifth graders. And in the schools where they have made intensive efforts around nutrition and physical activity, we've actually seen thankfully, not the incredible rise, which has been happening, but actually a stabilizing of the body mass indexes. So we know that it can make a difference. It does take, though, everyone. I mean, it does take our parents understanding this. It does take our schools and how they feed or make food available to the kids. It takes the kids to be active and to understand and to make healthy food choices, too. And frankly, one of the things that we have learned, and as a physician, it's not something I was taught in medical school, but we have now learned that most children, their eating habits are set by the time they're 5 years old. So indeed, another project that's, it's a fabulous program here that's been replicated across the state and country, is called Healthier Children, Healthier Weights. And it's working with preschool and child care providers and working with them to try and create healthier nutrition opportunities in the child care setting, as well as then to work with the parents and the grandparents and the kids. So we now have... I think over 10,000 kids, but hundreds of child care centers who are now offering much healthier options to their kids. They are trying to keep the videotapes that are not active at a minimum, mm-hmm. and increasing the physical activity of the kids in schools. And I'll tell you, our pediatricians have now come on. They are right on board. Children's Hospital is an active partner both in this. They have some special after-school fitness programs that are linked to healthy nutrition as well. So it does take all the partners coming together to see a change.
I want to thank Betsy Pandora for joining us today. Betsy, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Betsy is coordinator of the Healthy Places program at Columbus Public Health. We're at the Columbus Public Health's Farmers Market on Parsons Avenue at the Columbus Public Health Department. Join us here. We'll be here till noon. Farmers Market is open till 1, so there's plenty of time to shop, and it's a beautiful day outside. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Receive daily updates from WOSU by liking our station on Facebook or by following WOSU News on Twitter. Another way to connect with us is by subscribing to our Daily News Loop e-newsletter. Visit wosu.org/email to sign up.
What impact would immigration reform have on the growing Central Ohio Latino population? That's the topic that Ann's going to be doing on hour number 2 of All Sides today. That'll start at 11 o'clock this morning. Outside, as Ann mentioned, it's a beautiful day. The high today near 80 degrees, lots of sunshine, clear tonight with a low around 57. The wind's out of the north, but mostly there won't be any wind at all. Mostly sunny on Friday, tomorrow's high 84. By Saturday, we could have showers and thunderstorms, mainly in the afternoon, a high near 80. Possible rain on Sunday. By Monday, back to partly sunny and a high near 80. Right now in Central Ohio, sunshine and 67 degrees.
Support for 89.7 comes from Promo West Productions, presenting The Monkees on Friday, June 24th at 6:30 p.m. at the LC Lifestyle Communities Pavilion Outdoor Amphitheater. Information at promowestlive.com.
Join WOSU TV 34 next Wednesday night as researchers grapple with the harshest conditions on the planet and venture to Antarctica to discover astonishing new clues about the continent's past and the Earth's future. Watch NOVA, Secrets Beneath the Ice. That will be next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on WOSU TV 34.
Welcome back. We are at the Farmers Market at the Columbus Public Health Department on Parsons Avenue. It's very, very busy here right now. Packed. The WIC line, the women, infants, and children. Well, it's kind of slowing down a little bit now. Looks like they're getting all their coupons, getting ready to shop. Joining us right now, we've been talking with Dr. Teresa Long. She's the health commissioner for Columbus. And joining us now are what we might consider two stars of the show, in a way. Well, we've got a basket of fruit here, which is fabulous. Oh, my gosh. But also, we have a vendor and a consumer with us. So I want to introduce them right now. Sherry Gilogli.
Right.
She is one of the farmers at today's market. She has been a partner with her husband at the Gilogli Orchard for 25 years, and the land has been in her husband's family since 1853. Welcome to the show, Sherry.
Thank you for inviting me.
And also with us is Shanira James. Welcome to the show, Shanira.
Hello, thank you.
Shanira, how long have you been shopping here?
I've been here
for about 5 years now. Every year we come and enjoy the fresh fruits and vegetables. It's great.
Had you been going to farmers markets before that?
Yes, we came here a little while ago. I didn't know. It's crowded. It looks crowded anyway from the outside in. And then we'll see. We came up once a few years ago, and we just enjoyed ourselves and had, you know, the great fruits and vegetables here. It was wonderful.
Do you have children?
I do, three.
Do you bring them with you?
I brought one with me today. It's a little confusing with all three of them running around, but it's really great. We just one up here, so.
So it's three times a year in the summer mm-hmm. for this. Where do you go when there isn't this market around?
I might go normally to the grocery store, Kroger or, you know, Walmart or something like that, and just enjoy those fruits and vegetables. But when I come here, it's just so fresh, and I just enjoy having the fresh vegetables and fruits.
Did you, one of the purposes of the market, farmers market, is to change behaviors.
Yes.
Did it change any behaviors of you?
You know what? It did. It really did, because it's so easy to obtain the unhealthy foods. And so WIC, the program that I'm on, they really help introducing the healthy ways to eat the vegetables and fruits and the different ways you can just encourage the kids to eat the good vegetables and fruits as well.
So it's not just about getting a coupon.
Right. It is not about that. It is really about changing the habit. We don't eat as much candy as we used to. We're trying to change our bad eating behaviors.
Shiri Gilogli, have you been with the farmers market since it opened 7 years ago?
My husband and I have been coming up here since the inception of this market.
Now, you have a lot of choices. You could go to a lot of markets.
We could go to a lot of places.
Why did you decide to go with this market?
I think we liked the idea of showing people that maybe were not used to farmers markets and seeing where their food comes from. A lot of people have no idea where food really comes from. They go to the supermarket, and that's where they think it stops, and that's not where it stops. A lot of the food in your supermarkets come from other countries. That's why you have grapes in January. And we like not only the ambiance of this market, but it also, I think, is an opportunity for us to show people that they have a connection to their food, and that food is real and it's work, and that people actually do grow it and take care of it.
It's not some gigantic farm operation.
It's not a big cooperative. We don't have brokers telling us when to plant and when to harvest. A lot of people don't notice the seasons so much, but when you work on a farm, the seasons are what guides what you do.
Was this a good business decision to come to this market?
It was a good business decision for us. I'm not saying it would be a good business decision for everybody, but for us it's worked out very well. We like it a lot. We like the people. We like the people at the health department. They have always tried to accommodate us. Right now John is helping my husband work because...
Someone's helping because you can't be
because
there.
Because I'm here. Yeah.
Because it's real work.
It's real work. He's keeping the table full. He really did get the short end of that deal.
So you brought a basket of fruit. Is all of this grown at your farm?
Yes, it
is. Tell us about what you have here. It's beautiful.
I'll tell you a little bit about all the stuff we grow. We grow 25 varieties of apples, about 12 varieties of peaches. We have nectarines, these beautiful white nectarines, which I think are the gem of what we do. I would rather have this than just about anything we do.
I almost thought that was a plum.
No, they look kind of like plums. Mm-hmm. They're beautiful white nectarines.
Wow.
I have some grapes that Mark picked yesterday, which are just the most wonderful things. I have some apples that are, these are Molly's, and that's an old-fashioned kind of apple. You won't get that in a grocery store. But we just move through the seasons. We take our customers from the very early spring all the way to the last apple picked in the fall.
You made the point that, and by the way, folks, we have a few minutes left. If you'd like to give us a call and talk with either of our guests, Shanira James, a consumer here, or Shiri Gil Ogley, she's one of the farmers at today's market, where we're at right now in a live broadcast. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'd love to hear from you. Sherry, you mentioned that it may not be a good business decision for everybody.
Right.
Because that's probably because of the sorts of things that they sell.
Right.
Maybe fancy cookies or the kinds of different things you find at different kinds of farmers markets.
Yeah.
But does it change what you bring? Do you bring different things to different markets?
We really bring the same things to different markets, but we package it different. This is basically a WIC market, so we package things for children. When we grade out the apples and we grade out the peaches, we look for things that are more child-appropriate, apples that children will like, the smaller peaches, because all children want the biggest one. And if they can't finish it, then it's wasted. And that's a shame, to see a half of a beautiful homegrown Ohio peach thrown down on the ground.
Yeah.
That makes you sad.
But yeah.
So that's why we have the smaller size peaches today. When we go to other markets, you know, we'll maybe have a bigger size peach because it's more of an adult oriented. And we go like to the Worthington market, and those people are real foodies. So we always try to have things where they can take whatever they buy and turn it into something really special. But we pretty much take the same thing everywhere. It's just maybe packaged a little differently for whatever the market audience is.
Shanira, James, some of the farmers that come here also want to tell people how to prepare things. Is that something you feel comfortable talking with them about yourself?
Yes, I would actually like to, because I do have a five-year-old and he's really into, you know, wanting to eat all the fruits and things like that. So I want to know what the helpful hints that really helps out.
Do you do that, Sherry?
If people ask, sure. I've told a lot of people how to bake a cherry pie and grill peaches and apple pies, berry pies.
Why do you like this market?
I like, look at it. It's beautiful. It's colorful. It's vibrant. There's children running around everywhere. I mean, it's a beautiful scene, isn't it? Don't you think? I mean, look at all the beautiful colors the ladies have on, and
it is. It's a great. We're broadcasting live from the Farmers Market at the Columbus Public Health Department on Parsons Avenue. It's open till 1 o'clock. We'll be here till noon, so if you can join us, that would be great. There's lots of great food here. I'll vouch for that. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you want to chat with us. And Judy and Bexley are on the air. Welcome to the show.
I had a couple comments. One, I will be at the Bexley Farmers Market this evening, like every Thursday the rest of the summer, from 4 to 7:30, something like that. I love all the stuff you're supposed to eat, the whole wheat bread, the Greek yogurt. I bought beets last week, tomatoes, all kinds of stuff. My husband wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. He was raised by people who grew fresh vegetables and canned. He's not alone. I mean, he comes back with the squishy white bread, donuts, the potato chips. I mean, I have a meal with the right stuff. He doesn't need it.
Why do you think that is?
I think that's a culture or people. I don't know. I really don't know. He has two morbidly obese daughters. I mean, it's just, I'm not perfect either. I need to lose about 15 pounds. But I work in a hospital, and I won't say which one, but, I mean, you should see the doctors and nurses, the huge portions of onion rings. I did Weight Watchers. I can look at that and tell that's four portions of onion rings in one.
Well, if you know, that's interesting that you bring that up, Judy, because the obesity is often, you know, the demographics are pretty clear, except that there are exceptions and there's lots of people. What do you tell your husband?
Pardon?
How do you try to convince him to do otherwise, or have you given up?
buy him the one fresh thing he likes, which is corn. I tried to talk him out of buying Walmart's, you know, two cups of mayonnaise, God knows what, and half a potato salad. I'm like, I'll make it. Sometimes I catch it, sometimes I don't. I've been married 12 years. I'm not having much luck. I mean,
well,
you know, and it's, and I see it all around me. I see it with people who work in healthcare. That I just, like, you know, if people do not know what a standard adult portion is, and even in a hospital, they are not serving standard adult portions. You go to buy pudding, and it's 2.5 portions in one cup. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do serve, you know, I'll give them props. They do serve stuff. You want to eat healthy, you can. You can pick and choose. But that's not what most people are eating that I see. And I see people ordering in restaurants. You're going, my God, that's enough for 3 people. And it's going to one person, you know, clean plate club. I don't know what the answer is, but it's more than just giving people the opportunity to understand what's good to eat and what's the right portion. Because you can put it in front of them, you can lecture them. I've taken them to Weight Watchers. You can do that, and it's like, well, I just have one donut and this and that. And it's like, you know, I'm here eating the, you know, my frosted mini wheats with blueberries every morning. But nobody else in my family ever would eat breakfast.
Well,
my kids, Sherry, either.
Thank you so much for giving us a call. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye. Lisa in Columbus, you're on the air. We're running out of time, but I wanted to get you on. Hello.
Hi. I wanted to just say thank you for the voucher programs that allow people on WIC and elderly people to access farmer markets and just to make sure that the food that is available through those vouchers is a good selection and not just, you know, leftovers or what farmers can't sell otherwise. And that's my comment.
That's good stuff. All right. Lisa, thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe people have that impression, Sherry, that it's the leftovers.
No, not in our case.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's the best stuff. I pulled this off the truck this morning. I'm eating as soon as we're off the air,
if that does anything. But thank you very much, Sherry Gologli, for joining us today.
You're quite welcome.
Sherry is partner with her husband at the Gologli Orchard for 25 years. And also, Shanira James, thank you for joining us, Shanira.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Shanira is a consumer here at the farmers market at the city health department. Also with us today, I want to thank Dr. Teresa Long. She's a Columbus's health commissioner since 2002. We've been talking with her as well. Thanks for joining the show, Dr. Long. And thank you for listening to the show. That's all the time we have. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.